Sayadaw sometimes uses this distinction between what he calls personal effort and Dharma effort. Often people would come into the reports, into the meetings, and describe their experience, and they would say, "It's effortless now. I don't, there's no effort happening." And he would say, "There is still effort happening. It's just that wisdom is making that effort. Supported by the Dhamma, the effort is happening." And so when it feels effortless, what he points to is that it means that the sense of having to do the effort has fallen away, the sense of engagement, a personal engagement with making the effort. We have to use that personal effort at times because that personal effort is the condition that supports the Dhamma effort, the effort of wisdom. And it's important how we make the personal effort. The Buddhist teaching of wise effort points to essentially the foundation of wise effort is understanding the difference between skillful mind states and unskillful mind states, between those qualities of mind that are based in greed, aversion, delusion. Those are the unskillful ones, the ones that tend to create constriction, the things that put us off balance. And the skillful mind states, which are states not based in greed, aversion, and delusion, states based in non-greed, non-aversion, non-delusion, or to put it more in the not in the negative, non-greed, generosity, connection, non-aversion, love, and non-delusion, wisdom. And so as the mind begins to recognize the difference between the wholesome and the unwholesome mind states, the encouragement is for us to cultivate, maintain wholesome qualities of mind, and to let go of and avoid unwholesome qualities of mind. So this is where the personal effort comes in. We recognize the wholesome qualities, the unwholesome qualities. We cultivate the wholesome, we let go of the unwholesome. And this, there is some doing that's involved here. And our mindfulness practice, we could say, the cultivation of mindfulness. One of my teachers, Sayadaw Upandita, one of the things he said in one of his talks has just stuck in my mind. He said, mindfulness, and he meant wise mindfulness, wholesome mindfulness, right mindfulness. Mindfulness is the most wholesome mind state. And so cultivating wise mindfulness is wise effort. And one of the reasons why wise mindfulness is, in my understanding at least, Sayadaw Upandita didn't elaborate on this so much, but through my practice, I've understood that when wise mindfulness is present, very naturally, wholesome qualities begin to be more supported. Because when wholesome qualities are recognized with wise mindfulness, it creates the conditions for the mind to recognize these are wholesome, and the mind gravitates in that direction. And when unwholesome qualities arise, connected with being aware with wise mindfulness. The mind understands these are not helpful in terms of moving towards well-being, and the mind begins to let them go. Wise mindfulness creates the conditions for the weakening of the unskillful and the strengthening of the skillful. Sometimes people ask, well, you know, isn't, you know, how is this mindfulness practice connected with wise effort? Wise effort sounds more like a doing and, you know, doing things to get rid of unwholesome states and to get wholesome states. That's what it kind of sounds like, that teaching on wise effort at first glance, when we first hear about it, perhaps. But mindfulness, cultivating mindfulness, when mindfulness is present, when this kind of curious experience, the curious mindfulness that's interested in present moment experience as present moment experience, when that is present, wise effort is also happening very naturally. And so this is why I think Sayadaw Upandita said wise mindfulness is the most wholesome mind state. It incorporates, it encompasses wise effort. And so we also need to make personal effort to cultivate mindfulness. In the guided meditation, I kind of went through or explored some different ways that effort might happen in our mindfulness practice. Some of them more active, and some of them a little more stepped back. Recognizing awareness and what we are aware of, recognizing what's happening in the moment, and connecting with that, exploring being with that, that's one of the most kind of familiar ways of making effort. Making effort to recognize the return of mindfulness. Kind of that, it's not so much that we make the effort in that return of mindfulness, but that intention towards recognizing the return of mindfulness takes a little bit of connection of personal effort. Personal effort being when it feels like I'm doing it. Now, with personal effort of its nature, because it feels like I'm doing it, there's some delusion in there. And yet, if we were to say, well, there's a delusion in there, so I shouldn't make effort, our practice would go nowhere. So with that personal effort, with that sense of I'm doing this, we explore that the teaching on those skillful mind states and those unskillful mind states. We recognize what's wholesome to cultivate, and largely in mindfulness meditation, the wholesome mind state we focus on is wise mindfulness. Other teachings, other practices encourage the cultivation of love, of compassion, of joy, of concentration, many states and practices that can be used to support and cultivate many wholesome qualities of mind. In mindfulness practice, the main tool we're cultivating is this wise mindfulness. In the different thoughts I offered, the reminding yourself what's happening, maybe stepping back to just a slightly less effort, at least it feels like for me, is just to recognize or kind of remind myself, there's awareness. I'm aware. And then not try to connect so much with the experience, but trust that the awareness is connecting with the experience. So that feels a little less personal effort to me. Sometimes that's possible, sometimes it's not. Again, we need to kind of be aware of how our mind is engaging with experience. Sometimes personal effort asks us, or personal effort is needed to actually bring in some of our more active tools that help us navigate something that's really difficult. When it's not possible to connect with and cultivate wise mindfulness, we may need to bring in some of our tools to help ourselves remember what it's like to be aware, to connect with experience, to let go of something that's so overwhelming we can't be mindful of it. So sometimes that level of effort is needed. And again, this is a, you know, kind of the personal effort, the sense of self is recognizing this is painful, this is not helpful, this kind of being caught in this mind state is not helpful, and there are other things that I might be able to do to find some balance again. So sometimes we have to make that kind of effort. Parts of the exploration of effort that I pointed to using reflection, essentially, the questions, bringing questions in, what is happening, what else is happening, what's the attitude, what am I missing, those kinds of things. I tend to prefer really general questions. You can make them more specific depending on the situation. You know, if there's something strong happening, a very strong body sensation, you know, you could be a little curious about what kind of sensations are happening here. You know, are these sensations of flow, or are they sensations of hardness? You know, so there could be more specific questions that the mind engages with. In terms of asking questions, it's not so important what the question is. It's more important that there's an interest in the mind related to the question. It's the quality of interest that the question is kind of intending to spark. So that is connecting the awareness with that quality of curiosity of what's happening right now. What is this experience that's happening in the present moment? What's the human experience of this? And that's kind of connecting to the wisdom part of wise mindfulness. The curiosity of just this experience, as opposed to how can I get out of this? How can I get more of this? It's just, what is this? So that is a kind of part of the how mindfulness is wise mindfulness. There are teachings in the suttas. The Buddha, there's a few. I think there's about 10 suttas that refer to wrong mindfulness. So in the suttas, mindfulness itself is a neutral quality. It can be informed by greed. You know, imagining a thief going through a house, very aware of all of their movements, quite present so that they're not going to disturb anything to set off any alarms or to wake people up, quite aware. But the motivation for that is not, what is the experience of stepping and reaching? It's, I better be quiet or I'm going to get caught. I better be quiet so I can get these things that I want. So that's The definitions of wrong mindfulness in the suttas say it's motivated by wrong understanding. So wise mindfulness is more this curiosity of experience in the present moment as human experience in the present moment. So those questions that kind of spark that curiosity. And that curiosity, when curiosity is present, when the mind is interested, it's going to, so it's almost like we're tapping into that Dharma wisdom, that Dharma interest there. And that Dharma interest then may be able to spur the connection with experience. So it's kind of like a way to bring in a little bit of that Dharma effort, perhaps, by asking these questions. Likewise, using wisdom reflection, sometimes I used that also, offered that also as an offering for a way that effort can be kind of more easeful, just reminding yourself of understandings that you have. And they can be borrowed understandings. I love this phrase from Sayadaw. He talks about borrowing the confidence of your teachers, borrowing the wisdom of your teachers and the teachings of the Buddha. And then over time, also being able to borrow wisdom from ourselves, things we have understood in the past but aren't actually kind of present in this moment in an experiential way. So for a while, I was borrowing Sayadaw's wisdom expression, "This is nature. This is nature." And I found it to be quite supportive for me. It reminded me of the causes and conditions of experience. Oh, right, this is just happening because causes and conditions are unfolding. This is nature. And what that did for the mind was it allowed it to relax and just much more easily meet experience. So this too is a support for effort. This is a wholesome support for effort. Even if it feels like I'm dropping the questions in, it's okay if it feels like I'm dropping the questions in. At the point where there's a momentum of the mindfulness, and it feels like it doesn't take effort, then essentially wisdom is guiding our practice. The wisdom that we have learned, we have cultivated. And sometimes we might experience that as, Dharma wisdom spontaneously arising in our mind. Sometimes it happens in the voices of our teachers. I've had that happen sitting in the hall. I'd hear like Steve Armstrong's voice in my mind. Notice the relationship. Notice the relationship to dukkha. And it just arose. I didn't try to think it, but that thought arose, and it was the perfect instruction for that moment. So sometimes our system produces the wisdom that will support our effort in that moment. So part of a question on effort that came in earlier this week was the kind of this the recognition that many times when looking at effort, looking at the quality of effort in the mind, it often did feel like there was a greed or aversion in that effort. And wondered if that was, okay, or that kind of thing. And I hope this has expressed kind of the understanding of that. When is it okay? Or I think last night in the exploration around effort, I said something like, if you're not experiencing the dukkha around the making of the effort, don't worry about it. When you start to experience the dukkha around making effort, You'll know it. And that's when to really, look at that part, look at the effort and how you're making the effort. Much earlier on, I said sometimes if it feels like there's a lot of tension or stress around effort, sometimes backing off. How much effort do I need? Can I make less effort right now? That can sometimes allow that tension to release around the effort. But in that question also was, is there ever an effort that is not based in greed or aversion? And yes, there is. And it is this Dharma effort. When we're making personal effort, it may not be based in greed or aversion, but it may be based in the sense of self, which doesn't have to have greed or aversion connected with it. Often does. And yet, this is how our practice moves forward. There's one teaching. Ananda gave this teaching, Ananda, the Buddha's attendant. And I'll just give a little snippet of it. He said, there is a kind of craving that can be used to overcome craving. There is a kind of clinging that can be used to overcome clinging. And that craving, that clinging is towards understanding and wisdom. There are views that we can hold that can be used to let go of holding on to views. Another teaching by, in this case, a lay person. This one particularly meaningful to me because it does come from a lay person. This was Anandapindaka, one of the Buddha's disciples who was one of his key donors. And the Anandapindaka was talking to a bunch of other ascetics from other groups, and they were asking him what kind of views and beliefs the Buddha had, and he said, "Well, I can't tell you exactly the views and beliefs the Buddha had, but I can tell you the views I have." But he asked first for them to express their views, and they said all kinds of things like, statements about the world, the world is infinite. This is what's true, or the world is finite. This is what's true. Things like that, just kind of the statements of fact about the world. And when it came time for him to, and he pointed out that those views were not based in direct experience. And that they were in dependence on someone else and the clinging to it, to saying this alone is true, everything else is wrong, that was creating suffering for them. And when asked for his own view, he said, "My view is that clinging to views leads to suffering." And so this view has the seeds of its own dissolution. Because with that perspective or that view, you're interested in exploring what's arising in the present moment as a view, and whether you're clinging to it or not, and how it's creating suffering in the moment, and that clinging to it creates suffering, the letting go of it releases the suffering. So there are, yes, we will be clinging in our practice. The curiosity about how that clinging, like this curiosity, this clinging to views creates suffering. What is the present moment human experience that's happening right now? that perspective, even if we're bringing it in with a conscious sense of self, that perspective has the forward momentum to lead to the releasing of greed, aversion, and delusion, the direction of freedom.